Amen. If you are in a place that you want something to change, you're in the right place. We're kicking off our new theme of the month. It is a fresh start and a new beginning. And we have those. Can you pull out your card for the month, the fresh start, with a theme scripture, which is a scripture that just tells us, hey, get ready to move from the old to the new. And just keep this somewhere, put it up somewhere. Let's just read this theme scripture from Philippians chapter 3 together, just as we begin to center our thoughts and our hearts on moving forward. I'd like all of us, I'd like myself to get past our past. Let it go, let it go. Still popular, still works. Okay, here we go. Let's read together. Can we do that? One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Now, to do that, we're teaching today, you can begin again. You can have a fresh start. Have you ever been in church, and I haven't seen it happen for a long time in this church, but where they play the track and a soloist comes up and they get ready and the track starts to play and something happens that the soloist either loses their place in the track and they get this panicked look on their face like, I missed the intro. Oh. Have you ever seen this? And then they go to the sound technician. Could we start over? You ever see that? Could we start over? I'll tell you one place I've learned that there is a grace to start over again, and it blesses me, and it's in the game of golf. I am not a golfer. I would be a hacker. But I have friends that golf, and I love to hang out with my friends. I love to spend time with them. And I remember distinctly the first time I was out with some friends, and I teed off from the first hole, the first tee, and when I hit the ball, like demons attacked the ball, and they just threw it into the water, and I thought, how do I get that? And someone behind me said, oh, you can take that as your mulligan. I said, what's a mulligan? It's like a do-over. I'll tell you what, mulligan is my friend. I will tell you that. Because I've needed a fresh start and a new beginning. Jesus knew we needed fresh starts. He knew people needed it. One day he was talking to a guy named Nicodemus in John chapter 3, and he said, you know what, Nicodemus, you know what you need? You need to be born again. And Nicodemus was like, I can't get back into my mother. What are you talking about? He said, what you need, Nicodemus, is to be born again. You need to have a new beginning, a spiritual, emotional restart. And I've got great news for you. That to get to where you need to get to in life, you've got to begin well, you've got to stay on track, and you've got to finish well. But all of us, myself included, from time to time, get off track. And for all of us, there's this great news, and the Bible is filled with stories where you can begin again. You can begin again. Jesus tells one of those stories in the passage of scripture we're going to look at today in Luke chapter 15. And a dad has two boys, and the youngest of the boy comes to his dad and says, I would like to get my full inheritance before you die. The dad gives it to him, and it's pretty much as soon as he gets his finances, or his dad's finances, really, he heads for the hills, he parties, he wastes all of his inheritance. He's got some fair-weather friends, and how many know when you got a lot of money, you got a lot of friends? People are around, they're like, as soon as he ran out of money, he ran out of friends, and his life went down, down, dooby-dooby, down, down. Until he's in a pig pen. And he comes to his senses and says, I need a new beginning. I need a fresh start. I need to begin again. I need to get back to my father's house. He doesn't know how he's going to be received when he gets back there, but he comes to the point of saying, I need a new beginning. And he comes back to the father's house, and the father receives him with compassion and grace, and the Father gives him a fresh start. The Father gives him the ability to begin again. And that story, Jesus is telling us, there is a way back to a new beginning for all of us. So I'm just going to look at several things that we need to do on that journey of coming back to receiving the new beginning. I believe is available for everyone. And it's important you listen today. Well, it's important you listen every day, but today especially. Because there are people sitting in this room, and you need, as we begin this year, you need to begin again. Because you look at last year, and you do not want a repeat of last year. And you go, okay, and this is a great time to do that. A great time to begin again. Some of you have friends, and they've been going around the same problem, and going around the same problem, and going around the same problem. And you need to learn some stuff today so you can go back and say, hey, you can get off that cycle, and you can have a fresh start. You can begin again. And if you don't need to begin again today because you're doing real well and you don't have a friend, hold on to these notes because eventually you're going to need them. Because all of us come to the place that we need to begin again. And here's how it happens. First of all, if you need to begin again or you have a friend, here's what you have. The first thing that really needs to become part of your heart, your soul, your spirit is you need to know and know that you know that God is good. Because until you know that God is good, you're going to hesitate from receiving the gift he wants to give to you, which is the ability to begin again. If you look in verse 11, if your Bible's open, you'll see that the young son left his father because he didn't believe his dad was all that good. That's why people leave. He believed that there was something better out there than when was in his father's house. He believed there was better friends out there than were in his father's house. There was better success away from his father's house than his father could provide. There was better community, better opportunity. That's why he wanted to leave his father, because he believed his father, well, maybe wasn't so good. There was something better out there. And when he leaves this is what happens. When he leaves the goodness of his father, when we leave the goodness of God, we get into a whole lot of trouble. And that's what happened to him. He finally wakes up one day in a pig pen, I love this verse. I pray this for all of my friends who have got off track. If you're praying over someone that's a prodigal, someone that's far away from God, what a great prayer to pray. Watch what happens in verse 17. When he came to his senses. Oh man, I pray that prayer. I pray that for people. Lord, bring them to their senses. They've got to stop thinking that God is got a worse plan and start believing God has a better plan. He came to his senses, and what did he believe? He started to think about the goodness of his dad. He started to think, you know what? My dad, he's even good to his staff. Back in his house, he even takes care of his hired servants. Here I am starving to death. My dad doesn't let anyone starve to death. What's he thinking? He comes and goes, you know what? My dad is good. And to come back to God is to know that God, to know there's an ability is to come to the awareness, hey, God is good. God wants to pick you up. I've got great news for you. I've got absolutely great news for you. Our granddaughter, Ellie Grace, started walking this week. Come on, somebody. That's good news. And her parents, you know, they've been so cool. Because Ellie's made a lot of attempts to walk. She's a little less than a year old, and she's been trying because her older brother walks, and that looks cool. And her dad walks, and her mom, and she's determined she's going to walk, but she would take a few steps, and she would fall. And here's what a good parent does. A good parent doesn't say, hey, just stay down. This walking stuff, it's just not for you. Crawl. You can crawl the rest of your life. Now, what does a good parent do? A good parent says, get up. Come on. You're going to do this. And when you start to hear the goodness of God, you start to hear his voice say, hey, come on. It's a new year, new month, new beginning. You can begin again. Come on, get up. Get up. Get up. You are going to walk. You're going to run. You're going to go places that you can't even dream about right now. Why? Because God is good. Come on, everybody say it with me. God is good. Tell your neighbor, God is good. You got to come to that point. So you come to the place where the psalmist, here's a great psalm. Here's a great psalm. This would be a great one to memorize at the beginning of the year. Psalm 136, one that just says, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Why? Because he is good, and his mercy, get this, his mercy endures how long? Forever. I encourage you this year just to get up in the morning and just give thanks for the goodness of God. Before you get out of bed, what a great way to start your days, to start your year, just by laying in bed and just say, God, I thank you. I thank you I'm alive. I thank you that I have natural life. I thank you that I have spiritual life. I thank you that you never leave me. You never forsake me. I thank you for my friends. I thank you for my family. I thank you for the roof that it's over my head right now. I thank you that I ate yesterday. I thank you that I'm going to eat today. I thank you, Lord, for opportunities. I thank you for blessings I don't even know are coming, but I'm thankful, and I'm thankful for all these things because you are good. And if you've blown it and got off track, his mercy is like his ability to give another chance, to give you a fresh start, to remind you you can begin again. When does that mercy run out? What's that verse say? When does it run out? When do you stop getting the ability to begin again? When? Tell me, when? Never, because his mercy, which is the ability to begin again, endures forever. So the first thing is get set on who God is. And God is a good, good father. He's the one that says, come on, you can do it. Now the second thing is sort of what you believe about yourself. Because some people believe that God is really good, but they also believe that they're very bad, and they view that God views them as very bad. And so God may be good, but I'm so bad, I can't get a fresh start. I can't get a new beginning. And here's a very important thing, and it happens in the life of this prodigal son. You need to come to the place that you believe deep in your heart that you are a child of God. You need to see yourself as a son. You need to see yourself as a daughter. No matter what you've done, there's a song we sing here, and I no matter what, where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter how you failed, he picks you up again. I love that song because it's talking about God's grace that covers you, and he's got you covered by his grace. And it doesn't matter. Well, this last year I went some places I shouldn't have gone, okay? And this last year I did some things I shouldn't have done. And Scott, I know you're saying God's good, and I believe God's good, but if you only knew how bad I am, you wouldn't be offering me a new beginning. Sometimes people sit down to tell me stuff, because I'm a pastor, and they think they're going to shock me. They think they've done something so bad that I'm literally going to fall off my chair. And they kind of come at it really slowly. I'm just going to tell you, I've heard all the Ten Commandments broken. The big ones, I've heard all of them. I've heard stories on all of them. And so I just sit there and go, okay. Okay. And then I ask them this question. Now, I love you. You know I love you. I'm your friend. I'm your pastor. Do you think that I would forgive you for that? And most of them know me well enough to go, hey, you're a pretty gracious guy. Yeah, you'd forgive me for that. I said, if me with my imperfections would forgive you for that, how much more do you think your heavenly father, who is a much better dad than I am, how much more do you think he will forgive you? And they've got to come to this realization. It happens in this son. When he's sitting in the pig pen, when he's coming to his senses, he kind of goes over what he's going to do when he meets his dad in verse 18. He's going over, he's getting his game plan together. He's sitting with the pigs and he's thinking about his dad, and he's thinking, well, my dad's good. I really should go home. And here's his plan, his game plan in verse 18. I'm going to arise, and I'm going to go to my father. And he's rehearsing his speech here. Father, I've sinned against heaven, and I've sinned before you. Watch these words. These are so, this is how he felt about himself. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your servants. Now, see here, see up, see him on the screen. See up here. I put this right here. See this? Can you see it? Can you see? Oh, no, I'm out of the light and everything and tech view. But you see that star right there? Is that in your notes, that little star? That's such an important little star. Circle it, highlight it, like put a little smiley face by it. But that's important because when he gets to his dad and he starts giving the story to his dad, and as soon as he says those words, he says, Dad, I've sinned against you. I'm sorry. And Dad, I've sinned against God, and I'm sorry for that. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Then the father interrupts him. He never lets him finish his speech. Because as soon as the father hears, I'm no longer your son, the father says, hold it! Stop everything! Bring out the robe that shows he's my son. Bring out the ring that shows he's my son. We are going to throw a party. We're going to let the whole community, we're going to invite a whole community to the party. And we're going to let people know, and the father says it like this, my son who was dead has come back to life. Come on, somebody. Could I get an amen in the house for that? That was good. I know it's good. I know it's early, but it was good anyway. And you got to see yourself the way God sees. He sees you as a beloved son of the Most High. He sees you as a beloved daughter, no matter where you've gone, no matter what you've done, no matter how you failed. He's like the parent that says, come on, get up, get up, get up, get up, get up. Come on. You can begin again. So the first thing is how you see God. Second thing is sort of how you see yourself. And then this one, I want to miss this one, and it's very important. Because some of you have tried a fresh start. Some of you have tried to begin again, and you keep circling and circling and circling and going over the same issue and the same issue. And I want to put this in because this is very important, that you learn this step. Learn how to turn your failure into your fertilizer. Learn how to turn your... And what it is, could you please learn the lessons that God is trying to teach you from your failure. Your failures are never fatal if you learn from them. Your failure actually becomes the fertilizer for your future when you learn. That was so good. That was so good. Come on, it was so good. So good, I'm going to say it again. Your failure becomes the fertilizer for your future when you learn. And this young man had to learn some things. And if you're getting ready to make a fresh start, if you're ready to receive the ability to begin again today, well, learn. Here's some of the lessons. We can see some of them that he learned. The young man arrives. He's following his plan now, and he comes to his father. Here's a lesson he learns. His father was filled with compassion. His father was waiting for him, which is such an amazing part of the story. His father's scanning the horizon. His father is waiting for him to come home. And when the father sees him, he is filled with compassion. And he ran, which was not cool in the ancient day for old people to run. And to run, he had to, like, they were long, and they had to hike up their robes to run. And he's running down the road, and he throws his arms around his son, and he kisses him. And then the son starts the speech that he had practiced. Father, I've sinned against heaven, and I've sinned in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And that's where the father interrupts him and says, hold on, hold everything. Get the robe, get the ring, get the pig. It probably wasn't a pig because they were Jewish. Fatted calf, that was it. Fatted calf came back to me.
Yeah, they ate beef. Good Jewish people.
Can you see some of the stuff he kind of learned here? First of all, when he sinned, when he got off track, he sinned against heaven. And he had to ask heaven for forgiveness. I got good news for you. Every time you ask heaven for forgiveness, heaven gives you forgiveness. Heaven is more willing for you to make a fresh start and have a new beginning than maybe you are even. So, I've sinned against heaven. I need to make that right. Also, when you sin, you hurt other people. And Father, Dad, I've also hurt you. I need to make amends to you. I need to ask for your forgiveness. I need to learn that I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. And maybe the third thing he learned was just the compassion. Dad, I didn't know you. I didn't know you were this compassionate, that you ran down the road, that you threw your arms around me, that you brought the robe out to show people I'm still your son, and you brought the ring out, and I didn't even think you were that good. And these were things he learned. And there are things, if you have had continual failure, you need to learn why it's happening. You need to ask yourself, Lord, what are you trying to teach me so that I can turn this failure not into a fatal issue in my life, I can turn it into fertilizer, literally, so I can grow. Do you know that God will not waste any failure in your life? He will actually use what happened last year you thought was negative, he will actually use that to move your life forward this year. He will. If you say, God, what can I learn? You'll be able to say with the psalmist who says in 119, and I love this, my troubles turned out all for the best. Wow. How does that happen? When I learn from your textbook, or I learn from your word, is what he's saying. So what he's saying is, hey, you can learn from your troubles, you can learn from your failures, and literally out of your failures can come an incredible future. I'm going to say it again. Your failure becomes the fertilizer for your future. Where you can say, wouldn't it be great if you looked over your life and said, all my troubles turned out for the best. Wow. Let's just say that. Just say it by faith. All my troubles turned out for the best. You've been through some troubles last year? First of all, they're not shocking to God. He's seen it all before. And I'd forgive you if I could. And I know he forgives you. And he calls you his beloved son, his beloved daughter. And he says, you can learn from this. So here's what you do. You say, hey, you understand God is good. He's much better than you think he is. You understand that he never stops thinking of you as a beloved child, a beloved son, a beloved daughter. You learn from your mistakes. This guy learned from the pig pen, hard lessons. It's hard when we see people learning those pig pen lessons. He learned from that, and then he was ready to do this. And I encourage everyone to do this before you leave this room. Begin again with God's help. Choose, okay, I'm going to begin again. I am going to begin again. And that is available for every single one of us. It was available for the prodigal son. It was available for Moses. And it was available for Peter. And it was available for Thomas, the doubting disciple. And it was available for Paul, the guy who murdered people. And it's available for you. It's available for all of us. I love this truth from 1 John that says, if we say we have no sins, if we say we never need a new beginning, if we say that, no, this isn't for me, you're not telling the truth. We deceive ourselves. We lie to ourselves. When we go, hey, this is for somebody else. No, this is for me. This is for you. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not with us. But here's the solution. If we confess our sins to the Lord, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and do what? And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Come on, somebody say amen. That's just good news. That's what Jesus came to teach us. You don't have to be separated from God anymore. You can have a new beginning, and that's for all of it. All of us are included in that, because he's saying if anybody says this is not for me, you're deceiving yourself. And let's come out of self-deception, and let's come into self-truth where we realize I need this, and let's make this a season of our lives where we get some habits going in our lives that are going to help us this year to make a new beginning. Let me encourage you to read the Bible. You saw it up there on the resolutions. Don't take that one off your resolutions. If you can't, okay, let me give you just some grace. Some of you tried to read the Bible through last year in a year, which is an awesome goal, and some of you didn't make it. let me give you 2 years. It's okay. Like, it's better to keep going than to give up. Isn't that sort of what the message is about? It's better to, let's say, keep going than to give up. So you didn't make it last year? Go for two. But keep reading. Pray. Make prayer part of your life. Hey, some of you need to decide here, I'm getting up tomorrow morning, early in the morning, and I'm going to come, and at the crack of dawn, I'm going to be here, and I'm going to pray with my brothers and sisters. You're going to decide. I'm going to do that. Why? Because that's a discipline. That's a fresh start. That's a new beginning. Some of you need to be baptized. You need to be baptized. You didn't do it last year, and we're baptizing on Wednesday. You need to, and baptism is a beautiful symbol of a new beginning. You wash the old away, and you come up to a new life, because I never leave people in the water. It's a symbol of old going down, new coming up, and you just decide to do that. Decide, okay, I'm going to try something new. I know you tell us all the time, Scott, I'm going to try it this next week when we have small groups and connect groups that start up. I'm going to become part of one of them. I'm going to do that as a new thing. That's going to be a new beginning for me, and I encourage you to do that, because that's going to help you. These are just habits that you can just decide, okay, I'm going to do this. Let me, with God's help. Everybody say that, with God's help, because you can't do it on your own strength. That's why John tells us you got to come to God. You got to say, "Hey God, I need a clean slate. I need to make things right." And He's the one that forgives us, and He's the one that gives us the power to begin again. And I love that about God. God is a good, good Father. Having a new start and fresh beginning is kind of like baseball. The first time the ball goes across the plate, you don't strike out, right? You get a couple of chances. How many chances do you get? Wise people, smart people come to this service. Three. But here's some of you. Some of you are sitting there, we've gone through the whole message, and you're going, "Hey, I tried this." And you're listening to, and if I could read your mind, I'm reading it right now. Not really, but I just know what you're thinking. You're going, "I've already used up my strikes with God. I'm hoping you'll see that He's better than you think He is. And actually, He sees you as better than you think you are. And we should see that." Because in the game of life, you've got to remember who is pitching. It makes all the difference in the world. You've got to remember who is pitching. Because when a daddy pitches to their kids, there ain't no strikeouts. Right? When a dad pitches to their kids, they don't go, "Oh, you're out." What does a dad do? A good dad. What does a good dad do? "I'm going to pitch this thing till you get a home run." That's what the Father is. He says, I'm going to keep pitching until you get a home run, because He's a good, good Father. And you get way, 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 way more than three strikes. In fact, the psalmist tells us His mercy endures how long? Do you believe that? Do you receive that? Hallelujah, glory to God, amen. Could I get an amen in the house? Amen. Amen, guys, amen. That's just true. That's true. We're going to stand for prayer, so let's stand and close our eyes and just open our hearts, because there are people here that need to hear this message. Listen clearly, from your Father. I'm just representing the Father as the Holy Spirit in me speaks right now and says, you can begin again. You can have a fresh start. You can do what Paul said. You can leave the past behind, and you can press in to a new future this year. That's what this month is all about. You can begin again. And you're here. Your eyes are closed. No one's looking around. I'm going to look around. But if you'd say, "Scott, I need a fresh start. I need to begin again. Would you just keep me in prayer and just agree with me?" And I will. That's why I'm going to keep my eyes open so I can see you. Nobody else looking around. We don't want to embarrass anybody. And I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I promise you that. But if you just say that and you put your hand up high enough for me to see, and then your eyes, because I want to make sure I don't miss you ever, because you matter to me and you matter to God. And I don't want to miss
mission. You say, I need that. I need a new beginning. This, we start this year. I need that spiritually, emotionally, physically. I need that new start. Put your hand up high enough. God bless you. Let me see you guys. I see you way back. I'm starting at the back over here. I see you there. God bless you. I'm with you. I want you to know I'm praying with you. Just over here. Thanks, bro. Thank you. Fresh start. Start some of those practices, some of those habits as well. I see you over there, dear. I see you. On this side, see you right here. Thank you. Just thank you. I'm with you. I'm agreeing with you. Agree with you right now. Right here. Agree with you. Jesus, do something new way back there. See you, brother. Amen. I'm not going to embarrass you. Hey, love you. Glad you're here. Just agree with you over on this side. Wait, bro. Thank you. Thanks for being here today. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, see you right here. Miss you. Yeah, thank you. Thanks for being patient. Yeah. Did I miss anybody? I just want to miss you. We're going to pray. And our prayer team is going to come and be ready to minister to people and help them. But here's our community prayer. We're all going to pray it together as a family. And we're not just going to pray the words intellectually. We want to pray them by faith, which comes from our spirit, our soul, deep inside of us. And there, it's a prayer for a new beginning, a fresh start. Some people, for the first time in their lives, and some people for the first time in a long time, but you want to start this year right, and you want to start this year with God. And here's our prayer. Pray it out loud. God loves to hear your voice. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I open my heart and my life to Jesus Christ. Come into me. Be the Lord of my life. Be the Savior of my life. I repent of my sins, and I turn away from them, and I turn towards you, Lord, because you are a good, good Father. I'll say that again. You are a good, good Father. Would someone say one more, a little bit louder? You are a good, good Father, and I am your child, and you love me with an everlasting love. I'm very thankful for that. Now help me to follow Jesus every day of my life. This I pray in Jesus' name, and everybody says amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's a good prayer, guys. I love that prayer. It's a good prayer. It's a beginning prayer. And our prayer team is here. Whatever the Holy Spirit is doing in your life, we want to allow the Holy Spirit now, the anointing. Some of you need a fresh anointing for a fresh year. Some of you have some things going on, and you just need prayer over your life, physically, spiritually, emotionally. And this is our opportunity to minister to you in prayer while the prayer team is praying. If you'd like to commune with Jesus in the communion, which he asks us to do, you're most welcome to do that. There's a communion table over on the right-hand side and the left-hand side. And just be thinking about Jesus when you come to communion. He says, do this in remembrance of me. So don't be distracted by anything. Just you and Jesus. He died for you. He went into the tomb. He rose from the dead. And he loves you more than anyone else does. And think about that. Take the bread. Take the cup. You don't have to be a member of this church to receive communion. You don't have to be a member of this church to receive prayer. Just come. And you're a friend of Jesus. If you've been a guest here today, thanks so much for coming. Really appreciate you. We know God has awesome things planned for everyone for 2018. We'd love to be part of your journey. If you're a guest, I'd like to invite you before you go, whenever you wrap up here, to go into the VIP room. It's back on. This is VIP. You can't miss it. And we'd like to meet you and give you some gifts. And just thank you for coming. Nothing weird happens in that room. I always tell people nothing weird goes on there. And I said, there's no like, and if you don't want to give us your information, that's okay too. They'll give you gifts. Well, whatever you want. We just want to be here to help you. And I'm just praying that 2018 will be a great year for you guys. Love you so much. So I'm going to pray one more prayer. I'm going to say a prayer of blessing. Just bless you for this year. And after that, there's no other benediction. The worship team will lead us. Man, I loved worship this morning. The worship team do a good job in this church. I love these guys. I love them. It's awesome. Yeah. And they love God. It's not a show. They love God. They love God. And pray for Gina. She's not feeling well. Mark took her away. He should never take her away from Florida. I always tell her that. Georgia's not a good state. It's just not as dangerous up there. Hey, everybody, wash your hands a lot this week. I'm just getting a little practical right now. Lots of stuff going on. Wash your hands. And if you know me, nasal rinse, but that's a whole other subject. That's a whole other thing. But I'm going to pray for you, okay, guys? And then come for communion. Come for prayer. Let the Holy Spirit
Let the Holy Spirit gift you today with a gift, a manifestation of His presence. I just want you to receive that. So here's the blessing. And if you want to, I like to do this. You close your eyes, you can just open your hands towards heaven if you'd like to receive it. So Lord, here's your sons and your daughters just reaching out to you in a most biblical and spiritual way. I pray that you would pour the blessing of God on them this year. I pray that every need that they have would be met in abundance and to the overflow. I pray that the God of hope would fill them with all joy and peace as they trust in you, so that they will overflow with joy by the power of the Holy Spirit. I bless you in Jesus' name, and in Jesus' name, you are very, very blessed. And everybody says, amen. Let's put our hands together. Good to be together, guys. Love you so much. And come forward for prayer. Come forward for communion. Worship team, lead us.